Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's Rock underscore and underscore Rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/Rock and Rally Tennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast episode number 155 is brought to you by CareerWonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries. Share in the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at CareerWonder.com. Over the past couple of decades, the serve and volleyer has been going by the way of the dodo bird. Fewer and fewer players these days employ serve and volley as part of their strategic and tactical arsenals, opting instead for the modern-day first-strike power game typified by big serves and forehands. Now, one of the major reasons why the serve and volley is hardly used today is because players are hitting bigger returns of serve than ever before, thanks in large part to advancements in racket and string technology, as well as in their training and fitness. Look, rackets are lighter, more powerful, and stable than ever before. Moreover, there are myriad string types and blends that provide enhanced power, spin, control, and feel. Thus, it's very common these days to see players swing aggressively on the return of serve. That said, while you will not find many players today who rely solely, nor much, if at all, on the serve and volley, it can still be an effective tactic for many players if implemented and executed properly. Now, effective serve and volleying comes down to five basic guidelines. Number one, you gotta be selective when employing serve and volley. Number two, you gotta serve with healthy spin instead of trying to hit it flat with maxed out speed. Number three, you've got to hit your spots when serving. And number four, remember to split step in anticipation of the first volley when you follow your serve to net. And number five, on that first volley, prioritize placement over power. Let's discuss each one. Now, number one, be selective when employing serve and volley. Look, unless you are an exclusive serve and volleyer, for example, like Ivo Karlovic or Misha Zverev, you've got to pick your moments as to when to serve and volley. Now, Federer does a very good job of this, mixing in serve and volley and using the element of surprise in his favor, as well as when ideal opportunities present themselves. For example, when he sees his opponent positioned far behind the baseline to receive a serve. Number two, serve with healthy spin instead of hitting it flat with maxed out speed. Now, one of the most common mistakes made by recreational players when it comes to the serve and volley is they often try to blast the service winner. Now, look, trying to blast a serve when you're serving and volleying usually leads to robbing yourself of sufficient time to follow in your serve and get far enough into the court to be adequately positioned to handle that first volley. Now, you will rarely see good serve and volleyers try to hit big flat serves when they serve and volley. They will typically hit some type of spin serve, kick, slice, or twist. Now, you've got to give yourself time to follow in your serve and get deep into the court for that first volley. Number three, you've got to hit your spots on serve. Now, this is especially important in this era of the power game, where, as I mentioned earlier, the return of serves are often as big as the regular ground strokes. Again, thanks in large part to advancements in racket and string technology in recent years. The bottom line here is that players are returning much more aggressively. And if you do not hit your spots on serve, you may find yourself immediately on the defensive from your opponent's return. Number four, remembering to split step in anticipation of that first volley when you follow your serve to net. Look, the lack of a split step is another common mistake I see recreational players make when they try to serve and volley. Players are often in such a hurry to try to get to net that they'll either end up running right through or stabbing at that first volley because they don't give themselves a chance to optimize their balance and position from which to hit that first volley. And last, but certainly not least, is to place priority on placement over power on that first volley. Unless, of course, the opponent's return is a weak floaty that you can easily close in on and put away. All too often, players try to hit that first volley too hard. Now, I talked about this in podcast episode number 135. Many recreational players have a tendency to go for too much too soon, often resulting in errant volleys. On the serve and volley, you will often find yourself hitting that first volley from behind the service line, which is not the most offensive position you can be in when you're volleying. Moreover, volleying from that part of the court means you're probably going to be hitting a lot of low first volleys. Or put it another way, you'll have to hit your volleys up, which is why it's important to make prudent decisions on what to do with that first volley. My advice regarding first volleys is, again, is to prioritize placement and precision versus trying to power the volley from that part of the court and then be ready for the next volley. Don't try to hit a put-away first volley when you're not in an ideal position from which to do so. Folks, the bottom line with the serve and volley is that it can still be an effective tactic to employ if properly applied and executed, even in this day and age where power serving and super aggressive baseline play are the norm. As with all other facets of the tennis game, the serve and volley comes down to understanding basic fundamentals and making prudent choices. So, serve and volley away. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.